Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael. So it's so good to be here today with you all. And I am excited to introduce our guest today. Melinda Berkshire is here with us. Melinda, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Yep. You look great. And before we get too far, I think Melinda has a question for us about ice cream.
Grayson, what is your favorite flavor ice cream?
Vanilla.
That's a little boring. Margaret, what's your favorite flavor?
I love a lot of different ice creams, but they have to have crunch. I don't really want chocolate, and I don't really want, you know, banana unless it's with grape nuts. So banana grape nut would probably be my favorite ice cream. It has the crunch, and yeah.
I knew you had to have a crunch, and I knew from listening to previous podcasts, because it's always vanilla, and I was picking on you. I love a good vanilla from Klein's.
Yep. And I was going to say, I love the custard. People say vanilla's vanilla anywhere, maybe, but it's better some places than others. So, and before we get too far, today is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day. If you're a mother and you're listening, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my mom. And so when I was talking with Pastor Margaret, I said, you know, this actual time of this recording was pushed back a week. But Pastor Margaret said, I want to have Melinda Berkshire on Mother's Day, regardless of when we record it. So,
yeah. So we're grateful to have you here today with us. And I'm excited just to hear your story. And I think it'll be a blessing to those listening. And I love the fact that you remember all the episodes we talked about ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's special. It was special to
me. You neglected to ask me my favorite.
What is your favorite, Melinda?
Well, I was going to say my weakness is a McFlurry from McDonald's, which is the vanilla for you and the Oreo crunch for you. So I blended you all very well.
Yeah, well, if we're going to talk...
we're going to be a good team.
Yeah, if we're going to talk McFlurries and shakes, I'm going to be going to Cookout to get a banana pudding milkshake.
Oh,
let me shout out for that. They are great.
Okay. I wanted to shout
out. Had Cookout's milkshake, which is more like ice cream, which I prefer. But
yeah, yep, it's all good. So on to, feel like we need to go somewhere and get ice cream after this. But anyway, it's so good to have you here, Melinda, and happy Mother's Day.
Yep. Happy Mother's Day, and a shout out to my beautiful mother. I want to wish her a very happy Mother's Day. Yeah. I was blessed with the best mother in the whole world.
Yeah.
God blessed me for sure.
I was going to say, he knows who we need, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So if you would like to start out, just tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you grew up, did you go to church, those types of things.
Okay.
Your family.
Well, I grew up in the Shenandoah Valley here locally, outside of Bridgewater in Sangersville. Went to Turner Ashby High School. I'm one of three daughters. Our parents moved us here from Springfield, Virginia, when my twin sister, and I have a twin, when we were two. Our older sister is 5 years older. My father always wanted a boy. He wanted a boy the first time and didn't get it.
Then he got two girls.
He prayed extra hard, my mother said, and ended up with two more girls. So that's what you get for praying too hard. God knew what he needed.
That's exactly right.
And I don't think he would change it for anything now.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a middle-class, beautiful family home that valued family, and the example was set of what just a beautiful, loving family should be, and I feel very blessed. Grew up going to church. I'm a member of Mossy Creek Presbyterian Church in Mount Solon. That's where I was raised. Actually, that's where my father was raised, in that church. When he moved us back here, when my twin and I, you know, we were two and our older sister was seven, we moved beside my grandmother, which was his mother, and I was very close to my granny. She had lost her husband, my pop-pop, about a year and a half before then, so my father thought it was a good idea to move us back home so we could be with her, and what a blessing, because what memories to grow up next to your granny, who I have so many wonderful memories of her and being in her house and going to church with her. And she was, you know, a big pillar in the church and set the example along with my parents. And so I was able to get a perfect foundation of church. And it was always present, and wonderful memories of going to Sunday school, loving my Sunday school teachers, you know, sitting through the services on the pews. You dressed in your best Sunday clothes and you sat in the pews, and sometimes you were restless, but your parents directed you, and it always felt like home and always felt like family. And to this day, it still feels like going home and a family. And I had the pleasure, both my sisters and I, of raising our children in that church, too. So we have multiple generations in the church. And it is special. That is a very special thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say my parents set a wonderful foundation, for sure.
Yeah. So you went to high school, and what did that look like, high school, college?
Great high school experience. And after I graduated, my twin sister and I went to Concord. It was college then in West Virginia, Athens, West Virginia. It's now Concord University. I did a full year there, and then I transferred to Roanoke to the College of Health and Sciences to obtain my nursing degree. I knew I needed to nail down, you know, a field that I wanted to go into, and really talked a lot with my parents. They were instrumental. You know, my dad, we always call it the yellow legal pad. You know, he was used to conducting business meetings. He was a banker, and that's how he did things. And I can remember the night he sat, you know, my sister and I at the table and said, okay, now we need to get serious and pick a major. You know, and you're young and you're trying to figure out what it is you want to do. And I remember my mom speaking up, and I remember she just looked at me and she said, I can just picture you being a nurse, Mindy. She called me Mindy. Mindy and Missy, those were our nicknames. And she just said, you're the caregiver of the family. And she said, you would make a wonderful nurse. And
And she's so right.
Well, and that, I guess, I absorbed that. And so here we are. So I guess I give her credit for that. Did and my dad credit for pushing me.
That's right. Did they tell your sister she'd make a good teacher?
I think so. Actually, I'm trying to recall the conversation, but she did become a teacher. And so is my older sister. So I'm the only oddball of the family.
Yeah, my kids were blessed by your sister.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Valley. Yeah. Pleasant Valley. She taught both girls?
One of them.
One of them.
Yeah. Okay. So that's great. You know, it's amazing just to think about sitting down at a table with a legal pad and figuring out what's next, you know?
And actually through my life, that yellow legal pad has come out a lot. And you see what I'm holding today. For anything important, I write down on a yellow legal pad. I learned that from my father.
Yeah, well, you would laugh if you looked at my desk. There's one on my desk as well. So tell us, like, you have spent years nursing?
Roughly 35.
Okay.
That's a lot of years of nursing. I don't know where the time has gone, but I graduated from nursing school in Roanoke and then moved home and got my first nursing job at RMH, the old RMH. And what a great experience. I started out with medical surgical and then took on oncology nursing, became chemotherapy certified. So it was a lot my first several years being a brand new, inexperienced nurse. I look back now at all the responsibility and all the, you know, the heavy weight of nursing, and I had to learn quickly. And it was a great experience. I mean, I was nurtured, was blessed with a lot of people that just took me under their wing. And I did realize early on that I made the right decision. It was very rewarding, and it still is.
I've watched you in motion, and you definitely have some giftings that I don't have when it comes to caregiving. And so it's been really amazing to watch you in your field, you know, doing what you're called to do.
Looking back now, I didn't realize when the yellow legal pad, you have to make a decision tonight, turned into, wait a minute, this is bigger than this. So God really was there at our table.
So I have a question. As you were talking, you said that your mom said, you're going to be a nurse because you're the caregiver of the family. So what are some things in your family that you did as a caregiver?
You know, my mom could probably better answer that, but I think probably I was often told a lot that I was the one that worried about everybody, always kind of taking care of everyone.
You know, kind of the mother hen.
The mother hen, or coming last with things to make sure everyone gets something first, and always probably a very sensitive heart.
You didn't put yourself first at the table.
Right.
You did not put yourself first at the table.
You were a servant.
Everybody else.
That's right.
That's what I'm hearing you say.
That's right.
Like, hospitality.
Sure, or just that. I guess I've always kind of had that, you know, that instinct when people were sick or not feeling well and just not wanting anyone to suffer.
Right.
Yeah. It was probably always in me, not to the extent it is now, but certainly it was, those traits were there.
Yeah. And you know, it's one thing, like in our life group lesson, it talked about compassion and the compassion that Jesus had. And we can have empathy, we can sympathize with people, but with Jesus, when he looked on somebody with compassion, there was always an "and." He was moved to do something, right? And that's just making me think about, we can look and go, oh, it would be really nice if you went first and if your needs were taken care of, but it's a different thing to be a caregiver and make sure that people's needs are met, having that compassion and.
That's funny. That's what I have here on my paper, because as I was doing my lesson for our life group this evening, that kind of drew, I thought, how perfect. It kind of ties into what we're going to talk about today. So,
yeah,
I drew on that for sure.
Yeah. You've been in nursing for a few years. What is your role now?
I am a care transitional coordinator. So I am our hospital's Sentara home health liaison. So I coordinate home health services for patients in need of home services.
Okay.
So I work with the whole team in the hospital, the physicians, the case managers, patients, multidisciplinary teams to coordinate the best services and care for patients at home to get them out of the hospital and let them stay out of the hospital.
Yeah. So we're in life group together. You had been attending church here for a while and was a part of our life group. And you came to me one evening and you were having compassion on a young man that you knew previously, but was in the hospital. Would you like to share just a little bit, like the backdrop of that?
Sure.
As we are going to share a story of compassion.
Sure. So this young man, he's a kid to me because he's my son's age, but we'll say, you know, young man, 26 years old, had him under our home health care for many years, in and out of the hospital many years, so I was used to seeing him. But it seemed as though he kept coming into the hospital a little more often, and I was making more frequent visits to visit him. And I have to say, there was just something that drew me to him. It was just a bond that formed of pure compassion for him. This was a young kid who quadriplegic from a car accident at the age of 18 and was struggling and suffering, not just physically from ailments because of his disability, but really struggling emotionally. Mm-hmm. And we would get into some pretty deep chats, just the two of us. And I could tell he was just struggling with his relationship with God, with Jesus, was so knowledgeable about so many things with the Bible and had all these questions for me and just longed to just fulfill the answers to his questions and wanted to build on his relationship. And it kind of led to discussions and getting to know him. And I always felt this strong pull, and I think I've said this to you once before, that whenever I was around him, it was this overwhelming feeling that Jesus was present right there in the room. So for me, you know, some people will say their whole life they've had that experience where God came to them or Jesus spoke to them. I can say I never had that. Whereas I've always believed in Jesus, the foundation was there. It was with him. I felt it. There was a pull, and I could feel Jesus just right there in the midst of our conversations, kind of guiding me as well. We had some beautiful talks, and he mentioned one day that he made the connection and said he remembered my son Chase from school. And that triggered a lot of emotions for me that just made me want to know more about him, made me feel closer to my son. And so I think that drew us a little closer. That was real special to hear him talk. Fondly of my son. And so basically he was hurting and struggling and kept trying to explain to the doctors, to the medical team. They were all kind of trying to treat him physically, but that's not what was wrong with him.
That's right.
It really wasn't. He was struggling emotionally and spiritually beyond belief. Like really, I would say, and he would probably agree, we've had this discussion, I would say close to death. For sure.
And he knows we're talking about this today.
Yes, he does.
We're not talking about him behind his back.
Right. That's right. He knows.
He's very okay
he's
with the
very
fact.
Open
he can't
and
wait.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll have him on here one of these days
That's
soon.
That's right. I can't wait for you and Grayson to interview him.
It was great when he got baptized at church not too long ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so what the one thing that felt, you know, kind of back to the question I read about our lesson for tonight. You know, can you talk about a moment when you recognize that compassion must be accompanied by an action? I have taken care of so many patients through the years in so many horrible situations, whether it be physical, emotionally, the whole package, and so much suffering. But he was suffering so greatly that I felt this overwhelming need to take action, to not just be a supportive nurse and do the home health role of what was expected to me, but to actually embrace him further and to invest in him. And he needed church desperately and longed for a church. And I was blessed not too long before then, maybe a year, I would say. I was trying to think of the timeline and it goes by so fast. Probably about a year prior to that encounter with Justin, a dear friend brought me to this church. She knew that during my season of suffering and grief and hurting that I needed something. And this something really was Church of the Nazarene and the people that I've been embraced by. Mainly my dear friend and pastor, Pastor Margaret.
No.
The pastor I didn't know I needed. I brought up in that conversation with him, I have a perfect church for you because I know how it has fed me and what it has done for me. And we're going to get you in that church. And I'll never forget how he perked up. And he said, I said, yes. And it was as if he didn't think that was possible. I said, we're going to get you into the church. And then that kind of took off to a conversation I had with his mother. And it went from there.
Yeah. And so he moved from his home. Well, we had some meetings out there and brought some other folks. We created a team.
Yes, we did. I asked for your help in life group because I knew I was personally ill-equipped. Yeah. I was still, you know, pretty new into my relationship with God and my walk with God and my journey. And whereas I had grown a lot in my journey, I needed help. To walk with him.
I remember that first time taking the trip to their home. Yes. And when he's here, we'll have more conversation about all of that. But I sensed something when we were there that first evening in the home, in a hospital bed with family caregiving for him. He had been there a few years, you know? Yes. And I can't imagine what that was like to not be able to pick up, you know, anything and just to be dependent. Yeah. But man, there was something about him.
Yes. You could feel it. It was palpable, like I described to you.
Yes. It was. There was something that was really special about him. And it didn't take me long to know that this was somebody that I want to walk with, whoever's willing to be walked with. But so it began a journey. He ended up, you helped him get into Harrisonburg Health and Rehab.
Yes. Took a lot to do that. And that was a God thing for sure. You know, I give God the credit for that because by all means, he should not have qualified. It was very difficult. There were a lot of amazing people who also wanted to help Justin and worked with me, worked with us as a team to get him there.
Yeah.
Yeah. As y'all were talking, I was thinking about the story in the Bible. You were talking about you felt ill-equipped to do this on your own, so you asked Pastor Margaret and the life group to help you. I think about the story of the four friends that lift the paralyzed man down through the hole in the roof to get to Jesus. And so it takes a village, it takes a community to help somebody, you know, get the help they need, whether it be physical help or spiritual help.
Yes.
If we try to do that alone, it can burn us out, and that's not how it's meant to be. We're meant to be a community. Right. We're meant to help one another. And he had a lot of challenges, but just to see him continue to persevere. And I remember our life group decided, you know, at that point he couldn't come to life group. So we took life group to him.
That's right.
And we went to the home and, you know, he and his roommate came that night. And I just remember the joy of those two guys being able to be in the room
and be part of something that, you know,
they never thought that they would be a part of. And then the first Sunday that he showed up at the church.
Yes. And surprised me. It was around Christmas, and I will never forget that and that feeling. Like, he was so proud of himself that he made it to surprise me and you, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what a surprise that was. That was a lot of tears.
It was a lot of
his mother.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a big surprise. And I don't want to miss the fact that he knew scripture inside and out.
Oh, yes.
He knew. I would start saying a scripture and he'd finish it.
Oh, yes.
Like every time.
Oh,
like he had saturated himself in the word.
Memorized.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. very knowledgeable, and he taught me so much. It wasn't just me helping him. I look back at really the divine intervention was what he has taught me and how he's helped me grow in my faith, you know, during a season of pain and hurting when I was trying to search for my purpose. You know, what a gift to just be able to pray together. And he can pray such a prayer that is so powerful.
So, and I don't want to miss this point where you said in a time where you were going through a rough time in your own life, like you were helping him, but he was helping you.
Absolutely.
You know, there's such a blessing in giving. And my friend, Pastor Camelot, said this years ago. She was like, Lord, she was praying one day and she's like, Lord, I'm going to be about your business while you're about mine. And I love that prayer.
I love that.
Because we can really get down and out and just get stuck, or we can take a step, trust that God sees us and our plight, and just have compassion and help someone else. And so I watched that. I watched you do that. And that was powerful, just to see your faith grow through that. We also got to meet another gentleman through our engaging with Justin. Would you like to introduce the next person? That
his stepfather, Buck.
Yeah.
Daniel Buck. Many names.
I ask him, I'm like, why did you nickname him Buck? And he goes, he likes to hunt.
Well, I mean, a part of the beauty in our walk with Justin has been the relationship that we've developed, you and I, with his family and many others. Our life group. And that's been a journey, too. You know, a lot of blessings have unfolded.
And it's not all been easy. We can admit that, right?
That's right.
I mean, when we walk with someone, it doesn't sometimes.
Does it mean it's an easy walk?
Right. But we're invested.
We're invested.
You know, and it's the love of God that compels us. It's not us, but it's the love of God that compels us to be compassionate to not give up. And so tell us your perspective. We can't, we don't have lots of time to talk about that, but I don't want to miss just the blessing of reaching out to Justin brought salvation to someone else.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the short version of it is, you know, when I first started going to Justin's house, you know, I started my first visit, and I will never forget my Jesus calling book in hand.
I remember
it here today. Do you see how this has gotten me through life?
Well worn, well
it's
used.
It's well worn, well used. And this is all I had. This is all I could think to grab. And so I showed up, knocked at the door, and his mother came to the door, and his stepdad was sitting there at the kitchen table where I would soon learn after many visits to their house that that was his spot, right at the kitchen table. But it's fair to say, and we all chuckle about it now a little, he really wanted nothing to do with me.
That's right.
To enter the home. He just almost as if I didn't exist. I really didn't get a hi, or he just kind of ignored me. And I, of course, didn't take it personally because I realized he had to have a good reason for that.
Yeah.
And that story unfolds later. But, you know, it started in the middle of their family room in his hospital bed with me sitting, pulling up a chair while Buck stayed in the kitchen and his mother back and forth between Justin and I and Buck in the kitchen and just praying with Justin and talking. And every now and then I would see Buck look over at me trying to figure out what it was we were talking about and then turn away. So he was interested, but not letting us know he was interested, I think. And so several visits later, each visit got a little better, where eventually he learned to trust me and know my intentions were true with his Justin that he loved very much. And it was a great day to know when he greeted me actually with a chipper smile. And then it developed into hugs and embracing. And so what a great relationship. I had a lot of respect for him. He took such wonderful care of Justin, you know, as the whole family did. But he was very invested in his health care and was just very invested in Justin. And that was touching. Very supportive.
Yeah.
He, I think, was more for you to speak to, but on the struggle bus himself with understanding his relationship with God, if that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And so that's been a blessing and a joy to watch how that unfolded.
Yeah, so we may have to have Melinda in for the second session, but I do just want to share, like, I guess we were probably a little over a year, year and a half into walking with Justin, and Buck was diagnosed with cancer and had some conversations. I remember he wasn't too interested in talking about Jesus, but I remember him, the first time he really engaged, Buck really engaged the church was when we had Candy Fest.
Yes.
And he come dressed up as a clown. And
cutest clown ever with the horn.
Yeah. And Justin was Waldo.
Yes.
And it was just
absolutely great.
They were there together, and the whole family, like Justin's family, showed up that night. Nieces, nephews, siblings, and all. And so that was a really amazing evening event. They just made it, for me, anyway. Yeah. And then...
me as well.
Yeah, it was great. But continued to have conversations with Buck, and he had this really crazy request one day. He wanted two recliners. And the Lord answered that within 24 hours, and we took those two recliners to him, and God was tendering his heart.
When he was ill.
Yeah, when he had been diagnosed and was getting closer to the end of his life, mm-hmm. and he came to faith. And I just think about, Melinda, if you would have looked on Justin and said, but you know what, I'm really struggling myself, I can't help. But you didn't. You looked on him, and you were moved with compassion to do something.
Yes,
I was. It was a big something.
Yes.
And I think about your whole nursing career, like God had been preparing you and put you in the place where you could make a difference in someone's life. And you did. And not just in his life, but you've built so many relationships with his family. And even got up and spoke at Dan's memorial service.
That was huge for me.
And you didn't think you could do that, but you did. The Lord gave you strength.
Right.
And I guess what I see and what I'm trying to communicate today is sometimes when we're moved with compassion, we could easily give up and go, you know, this is too hard, because we don't know what will unfold in a life. But you didn't do that. And you persevered with Justin, with Dan, with the whole family. And to know today that Dan made things right with the Lord, and he wanted what Justin had. It was hard for him, but he figured that out. But God could have used someone else, right? If we hadn't been in the picture, but he didn't.
That's right.
He used you, and you opened a door for me to be able to be a part of that. And I think that's the love of Jesus through us. It's Jesus calling, right?
Yes.
And I wonder, speaking of Jesus calling, do you remember what you read to him that day? Do you remember the first thing that you read to him?
You know what? I wish. I honestly don't.
That's okay.
I don't remember. But it was interesting today, which I thought was just kind of so appropriate how it ties into our conversation. But I pulled out my Jesus calling on today's date, and I was going to read that.
Yeah.
If you would let me.
Yes.
Let me teach you thankfulness. Begin by acknowledging that everything, all your possessions, and all that you are belongs to me. The dawning of each new day is a gift from me, not to be taken for granted. The earth is vibrantly alive with my blessings, giving vivid testimony to my presence. If you slow down your pace of life, you can find me anywhere. Some of my most precious children have been laid aside in sick beds or shut away in prisons. Others have voluntarily learned the discipline of spending time alone with me. The secret of being thankful is learning to see everything from my perspective. My world is your classroom. My word is a lamp to your feet and a light for your path.
Wow.
And I thought, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Everything I wanted to say, you know, Justin has been my classroom. And I have learned so much through the journey of walking with him and with my relationship with God. You know, you once told me at my lowest of grieving so many losses and rejection that waiting for God to work a miracle or to work on my behalf with my family, with my children, you know, you once said it's what we do in the waiting that counts.
Wow.
I never knew I had the strength to do these things in the midst of my waiting period.
Wow. Melinda, thank you for joining us today on Hope Talks. Just in closing, anything else that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you would like to share?
One thing I will say is a wise pastor and friend sitting across from me once asked me at Life Group, and this has always stuck with me, in my worst, you know, my worst times of hurting, would you want to be the same person you were before your journey of pain and your hurting? And the answer is no. Because I have grown in my relationship with God, and that has been the blessing. I have had to surrender it to him, learning what that means, learning to have a personal relationship with him, that maybe in a way could be God's plan for my waiting period, and finding all these blessings like Justin that come at just the right time. So, yeah. I guess I'll end with that.
It's neat that you said that. Today I saw something on social media. It said, if we trust the makers of a puzzle to put all the pieces in there, how much more can we trust God that he has placed each piece in our life perfectly for us?
That's right.
And has a purpose for it.
God has a purpose for the pain. He pulled me, with Pastor Margaret's help and many people that have loved me, out of the pit to purpose, maybe, to a time where I felt like I had no purpose or trying to redefine my purpose.
Yeah.
You know, my deepest prayer is that he can heal those who are hurting and comfort every broken heart and restore the homes of families who have been torn apart. I'm one of them, you know, to tell the chains to break and do what seems impossible that only he can do.
Right.
We can't do it, but
that's
we
right.
know God can.
Right. That's right.
And I have really grown in my faith. And I hope one day, if God puts my family back together, I can share another testimony and be here.
Yeah.
We pray for that day.
Yes. Thank you.
And God's been working, right?
God's been working.
Yep. And we give him praise for that.
For Mother's Day, I want to shout out to my children that I love them very much. And my little granddaughter, I love her very much, and I long to know her one day.
Yeah. Well, I think that this scripture in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, Melinda, it's been great to have you. Thanks for joining us on Hope Talks. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Melinda Berkshire's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.